Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August 15th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode, we're going to be going over a few things. One of them is Xavien Howard is an elite cornerback. For sure, but is he a lockdown blanket cornerback? That's going to be discussed in this episode. We're also going to be talking about Jadeveon Clowney. There is still a possibility he will be traded before this season begins from the Houston Texans. So we're going to be talking about a few potential landing spots for the talented defensive end. We're going to be talking about Jimmy G. He had a pretty bad performance in practice, one that was bad enough that has to be talked about here, and the Antonio Brown helmet situation, as well as some other things. So first things first, let's talk about Jadeveon Clowney and why he's such a difficult person to trade. Well, first of all, he is very difficult to trade because he is a one-year rental. The deadline for him to reach an extension this season, even if he were to be traded, has passed. So even if he were to get traded, a team can't negotiate with him, and then there's always going to be the possibility that he could walk after this season. Think of, if you watch basketball, Kawhi Leonard. He was a rental for the Raptors. Sure, it looks great that they made that huge trade to get him, but if they didn't win the finals and he just walked off to the Clippers and you just basically traded away a bunch of assets for nothing. So it looks good in basketball, but in football, there's a lot more moving parts that make a team good. So just plugging in Jadeveon Clowney into a team doesn't guarantee a team's a Super Bowl contender. So when you're thinking of one-year rentals, you're typically thinking of a team that is on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl. Like, think of the Rams last year when they got Ndamukong Suh. They were on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl. They went out and they got him for a year. So which other teams could use a guy like Clowney that are on the cusp of making that push? So I think of teams like the Saints. They could really use a guy like Jadeveon Clowney there. That would be a great asset for them. I think of teams like the Indianapolis Colts, who may be a little bit further away, but if Andrew Luck can string together another good season, Darius Leonard's a very talented middle linebacker. Jadeveon Clowney could definitely help the Colts team, but of course that's an in-division rival that makes the trade there be a lot less likely. So, and then other teams, like I think the Baltimore Ravens could very much benefit off having a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. Of course, the Texans would want probably one of their key defensive backs, but the thing is, the Ravens got a ton of those. They got Jimmy Smith, they got Humphreys, they got Carr. They have a bunch of assets there that I think they'd be willing to depart with a guy like Jimmy Smith and maybe a later draft pick if it meant getting Jadeveon Clowney on that team, because they lost Mosley, they lost Terrell Suggs, so they really need somebody who's not a defensive back to help stop the run. And now the Ravens aren't a team that is necessarily making a push for the Super Bowl, but every time they do make a push, they never look like they belong there, you know? They kind of always snuck up on it, and it was by making a very good defense. So I'm just saying that could be a potential landing spot, and it is one that could be enticing for Clowney long term. And then, of course, the Miami Dolphins were a team that were really discussed at the very initial parts of this as being rumored to be in talks with the Texans about doing this trade. I didn't really buy into that idea because, one, the Dolphins team is still very far away from being any sort of contender. And if you're plugging in a rental here, there's not really much he's going to do. You're basically trading away assets for the guess or the hope that you're able to sign him long term. But even there's no guarantee. It's risky. And then number two, I think the Dolphins really need these draft picks. I mean, there's a ton of holes. Look at the offensive line. You have guys like Omar Kelly saying that it's the worst offensive line he's seen the Dolphins have. And he has seen a lot of bad Dolphins offensive lines. So when you just look at this Dolphins team, linebacker two, there's just a bunch of holes on there. I think they need all the draft capital they're going to get. And then three, the Dolphins made a huge splash in free agency, making Ndamukong Suh the highest paid defensive player. And you really got to see how much that improved the team. Like, yes, he was a huge asset. He was an elite player who was playing at this Pro Bowl level. But even that wasn't enough to make the push. And that was with guys like Cameron Wake alongside him, Olivier Vernon alongside him, Rashad Jones, who was in his prime, the early emergence of Xavien Howard. And that was even then not enough to make the push. So I think the Dolphins are going to be a little weary of just dumping a bunch of money into one guy when there are still a bunch of holes other places on this roster. And then if the Dolphins were to make this trade, if they were to shock me and make a trade that I don't really think makes sense at this point in time, what would I see them trading? Well, I don't think they would want to give away a lot of the draft capital. So I'm thinking a player for player to help lessen the blow, make it a later draft pick. I would think a receiver. I would think a guy like Kenny Stills, just because he has the most value on this team. The emergence of Preston Williams really makes that more likely if it were to happen, which I don't think it will. Or maybe a guy like Devontae Parker, who has I can't see why any team would want to trade for Devontae Parker. So those are just my thoughts right now on the Jadeveon Clowney trade. I don't think the Dolphins are likely, and I don't think this is going to happen. I think they're too far along the line. So I expect, if he does get traded, to expect it to be a team that has a more realistic chance at a Super Bowl this year, or a team that has more of a foundation there that's already available that could entice him to stick around, or maybe just a ton of cap space, which the Dolphins will have. But I just don't know if that's the right move for them. I mean, there's going to be a ton of other holes for them. Now, we move on to Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard, and kind of the idea that is he a complete lockdown defender? And the quick answer for that, in my opinion, is no. I don't think he is at a level where he is like Jalen Ramsey-esque, where he completely, you know, eliminates one whole side of the field for an offense or takes out the best receiver opposite of him. I don't think that he has reached that level yet. And I want to say defensive back is probably one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL, both physically and mentally, because you're at a position where you can have the clamps on a receiver all game long, but if they get open three of those times and they rack up like 70 yards and two touchdowns, then they're the one that had a good game and you had a bad day. You know, you flip that the other way, an offensive player can't get open all game, he's struggling, he has two good routes and gets open, he can make an impact, and all of a sudden he had a good game. So defensive back is just a really rough position to play. The fact that you're backpedaling, trying to go up against someone who's running straight forward, and he's likely taller, stronger, he has better hands, it's just a really tough position to play, and what we demand of these guys is a lot. So I just want to say that. But when it comes to Xavien Howard, I think he is someone that's still underrated and I guess not well known in this league, like how Madden had his rating like 25th among all cornerbacks in this league. I think that's ridiculous. I think he should be way higher, but I still don't think he's someone who could eliminate a whole side of the field like Jalen Ramsey can. I really want to emphasize and appreciate what Jalen Ramsey is able to accomplish, because that's what he does. He eliminates a whole side of the field, much like how Richard Sherman was doing in his prime. So one thing that I think Xavien Howard still struggles with is to contain these elite wide receivers, which is something that you would kind of hope that your elite defensive back, especially if you made him the highest paid back, could do. And I'm not sure he has made that next step, because I touched on it a lot last season. We go over the stats at some of these elite wide receivers who went up against him. First, it was Davante Adams, who had a nice game. He had four catches, 57 yards, two touchdowns. You look at DeAndre Hopkins' game against him, and he had the clamps on DeAndre Hopkins that whole first half. Well, it ended up being a six catch, 82 yards, and two touchdown game for Hopkins, so a nice outing for him. You look at T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton had a nice little game, seven catches for 125 yards. And then you look at A.J. Green, six catches for 112 yards. Each of those games were losses. Now, like I said, defensive back is such a hard position to play. I'm not expecting him to shut out A.J. Green for 15 yards every single time, but these guys are still having very, very effective outings against what is the Dolphins consider to be the top cornerback in the league, judging by how they paid him. But I think the way Xavien Howard plays is not like a shutdown corner, but rather like a ball hawk. I think that kind of makes up for some of his mistakes in coverage. I think his ability to intercept the ball is among some of the greatest in the league, and that's not by accident by any means. And they've saved the Dolphins in several games. Like, I think back specifically the one against the Chargers where he had that interception that was like a toe tap catch. That really saved the entire team, and he's had several of those kind of performances. So Xavien Howard right now in practice kind of struggling against Mike Evans. Mike Evans is getting the upper hand, but you know, that's a hard player to cover. But Chris Godwin, the Buccaneers number two receiver, is also doing pretty well against him. So that does have me a little bit, I wouldn't say concerned, but it just kind of has me ready to see what we saw last year. And that's just kind of these big name receivers continuing to do what they do, but Xavien Howard making up for it by getting a lot of turnovers. So that's kind of what I'm expecting. And I know people are kind of ragging on Xavien Howard because Chris Godwin's beating him sometimes in training camp, but then they're throwing back, oh, well, he got a pick two plays later. Well, that's exactly how I expect it to be. I expect him to get beat by some of these big receivers and then just kind of balance it out by sprinkling in some interceptions there. So that's what I'm expecting out of Xavien Howard. Now we go to talk about the San Francisco quarterback, and that is Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, this is interesting because in practice today, he threw not one interception, not two, not three, not four, but he threw five interceptions, and it was not throughout the whole duration of practice. He threw them on five consecutive plays. That is absolutely ridiculous. Now, when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought the San Francisco 49ers were a little bit too eager to pay the man. Now, I understand he's a young quarterback, and it's very hard to come across young quarterbacks, but I think the position they were in, you know, you had the whole Kaepernick thing, you had the state of the team that was just constant loss after loss after loss. Jimmy Garoppolo enters, and the team wins. But I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo was doing anything, you know, exceptionally well. He was just being a solid quarterback. He was managing some games pretty well. But the fact that they made him one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and this guy has 17 touchdowns throughout his whole career, you know, that has me a little bit worried there for the San Francisco 49ers. That's still a lot of unknown. You have him bouncing back after his ACL injury. He's in an offense that definitely doesn't have a lot of star power on it. And just frankly, if there's people complaining about the fact that Dak is going to get paid, then I think Jimmy Garoppolo needs to be mentioned first, because Dak, I could understand more. I think Dak has proven way more in this league than Jimmy Garoppolo has. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, it would benefited off of a really good system in New England when he had the opportunities. So it's just really hard to gauge what you have in Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm just something that in terms of fantasy, I'm still not buying in on anything in the San Francisco 49ers offense, except maybe Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman as well. And then, of course, the obvious big name there right now would be George Kittle. But George Kittle is interesting because I don't know if they're going to feed him the same way. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't the one throwing to him. You don't know if they had the exact same chemistry together. And I think that's such a vital component between quarterback and tight end relationships. So I'm not really sure if George Kittle is going to have this tremendous season. There's for sure no way he's going to match the numbers from last year. There's going to be some sort of regression just because it was such an astronomical season for him. But I'm not even sure that he retains this kind of elite status that he got last year because of the good season. That's just something that I'm not entirely convinced about, and I would definitely be a little weary if I was thinking about drafting him in fantasy football. Now, the last topic for the day is going to be Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown threatened to retire if the NFL did not allow him to use his helmet. The league responded back by saying basically, all right, retire. We won't pay you though. And then Antonio Brown came out really quick with kind of like, no, you don't have to do that. Like, I'll play. Like, I'm not going to retire, but, you know, I just disagree. Like, I definitely disagree, but I'm not going to retire. So basically, they called Antonio Brown's bluff on that. Interestingly enough, though, the NFL kind of, I guess, met him halfway in a sense by saying that if you do, though, find one of your old helmets and it was made within 10 years and it meets those demands, then we'll let you use it if you get it approved by us. So Antonio Brown then went on the little quest asking people on social media to help him find a helmet that is within 10 years of it being made. And I don't know if it was through there, but he ended up finding a helmet and they're in the process of getting it checked out. So if you're someone that was invested in whether Antonio Brown would be able to wear the exact same model of helmet that he's worn his whole career, this story may indeed have some sort of happy ending. And frankly, this was all appears to be over nothing, but at least it will add some content to Hard Knocks that we can continue to watch. So that's how I'm going to end this episode, guys. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow this podcast. That is at Via The Source. I do have a very interesting thing happening in the future for Via The Source. So if you haven't followed on already, this may be a good time to follow on Twitter. That's all I'm going to say. But until next time, guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. As always, I'm Stephen Masso, and this was Via the Source.